We're still in 1 Corinthians, but we're going to really take a step forward this week. We're going to do the entirety of chapter 8 in one chunk. If you want to turn with me there to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, we're going to start with verse 1. And it says, "Now about food sacrificed to idols. We know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. But the man who loves God is known by God. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols. We know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things come, and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came, and through whom we live. But not everyone knows this. Some people are still accustomed to idols, that when they eat such food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to an idol. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone with a weak conscience sees you who have this knowledge eating in an idol's temple, won't he be emboldened to eat what has been sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother, for whom Christ died, is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against your brothers in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to fall." Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word. And we just ask now that you would send your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and our minds to receive it. Lord, that you would show us how this applies to us today. Lord, keep your word new and fresh in our hearts. And guide us step by step through every aspect of our lives. Not just here on Sunday mornings, but Lord, every day, all day long, week in, out, month after month, year after year, might we live for you and might we be following you exactly in your footprints. Father, I pray for myself that as I come to preach this morning, that your anointing would be upon me, that I might speak your word in truth and in power, that your people here would be encouraged and blessed, Lord, that you would use what I say for your glory and bless your people here. Now, Father, be present in our midst. Might we worship you in the study of your word. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we've talked about previously, Paul's responding now to different questions, different things that the Corinthian church has written him about. And he's come to this question about food which has been sacrificed to idols. Hasn't there already been a ruling on this? Yes, there has. If we go to Acts chapter 15, that's John. We go to Acts chapter 15. Let's look at the 29th verse. It says, "You are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, from sexual immorality. You will do well to avoid these things." This is in response to the Judaizers who had been going around saying, "What are you doing? You're a Gentile. Now you have to live by the law. If you're going to really follow Christ, you have to..." They put this big pile of stuff in front of them that they just couldn't do. So they sent Barnabas and his associate pastor. Barnabas was the pastor of visitation at the big church down in Antioch. And they sent Barnabas and his associate pastor, Paul, on up to Jerusalem. Or down to Jerusalem, whichever way you want to. I think it's geographically down. Sent them on down. And they took the question to the apostles that were gathered there in Jerusalem. And they made their ruling and they sent it back. But they sent it back a couple other guys with them because they wanted to make sure that people didn't think that Paul and Barnabas were, you know, slanting things in the way of their own personal preference. Because we all know that there's nothing worse than dealing with, not nothing worse, but there's nobody who is tougher on a subject than somebody who used to be involved with it, okay? The guy who used to smoke hates smoking more than anything else. The guy who used to drink is more against drinking than anybody who never drank. The Pharisee, the guy who's really into the law, there's nothing worse than the guy who used to be the Pharisee of Pharisees, Paul. So you're going to Paul and saying, Paul, we want to resubmit for this ruling because, you know, when this ruling was made, you were just the associate of the visitation pastor. The big, I mean, you really weren't a big shot. But now, you're the Apostle Paul. You're the guy who planted all these churches. And you're the one that we're all looking to for our leadership. And you've kind of moved up, and now you can make the ruling. We'd like you to make the ruling. What is it you'd want us to do? What do you think is right? Because they've been studying the law. They've been looking at God's Word, and they see, you know, what's really important is what's in my heart. I don't care about where that food's come from. I'm worshiping God whatever I do. I don't want to be a legalist. I want to follow God. I don't want to be tied up in bondage to the law. And Paul responds, and he comes back and he says, you know what? A little bit of knowledge can be a dangerous thing. You may think you know, but you don't. Because you haven't considered it from the whole package. You haven't looked at it from the direction of love. It says, we know that all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Love builds up. These guys are trying to say, well, I don't have to do this because I know I follow God. The law, that's for those who don't know Jesus. Paul's saying, it's not about puffing up, it's about building up others. So we go through this, we see that it's not all about me. See, the question that these guys are asking is, what about me? I don't want to be inconvenienced. You know, I might be poor, but I know Jesus. I know Scripture. I'm following Him well. When I get food from the temple, when I get meat from the temple, I don't consider that worship of any thing carved out of wood, or some piece of stone, or some other idol. I just consider that grocery shopping. So I'm not sinning. And Paul says, you're right, you aren't. However, you didn't think about your weaker brother who sees that and says, you know, it's okay for him to go to the temple. Why can't I go to the temple? The example that the Alliance, the Christian Mission Alliance, has done is we've looked at alcohol in a similar vein. And they've asked pastors to pledge not to drink. Why? Because some people have a problem with alcohol. And if they see me going into the bar, they see me hanging out there, if they see me sitting there tipping back a few, they might think, hey, it's okay for them, even though they got a problem with it. And I don't want to be tripping up my brother. So that's why the Alliance said, you know, pastors, you don't want to do that. And you say, no, that stuff doesn't happen. Well, you know what? Yesterday, just last night, I was talking with Nora Jean. And she'd been at a wedding with her mother's family. And she sat at the table with the pastor. And she said that pastor tipped back at least 10 drinks. And he was drunk. And he's making passes at everybody out there. You're going, that's not a problem. That's a problem. Here's a pastor who's acting inappropriately. I don't want to stumble into that. And the Alliance is saying, hey, we don't want our pastors to fall into that trap where they could end up doing stuff like that, causing somebody else to sin by saying, well, look at the pastor. He's doing it. Must be okay. So it's all about looking out for somebody else who may not know as much about Jesus as you do. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about our brother, our sister in Christ. In Luke chapter 17, in the 13th verse, where did I put that? That wasn't the 13th verse. 1-3, there we go. Luke chapter 17, verses 1-3, and Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to the person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. See, while I'm walking around in my Christian maturity, in my freedom in Christ, I'm one of these believers in Corinth. You know, they have festivals where they hold out free food. But this food has all been dedicated to the idol. Now, I, in my freedom, say, I know that that idol isn't God. It doesn't bother me a bit. I'm just going to take advantage of the free food. But I got my younger Christian brother over here who's watching me and sees me sit down at the table. And I eat of food which had been previously dedicated to an idol, a false god. Now, me and my Christian freedom, I'm not sinning myself in the eating of the meat. My sin comes when I trip up my younger brother, my younger sister, by doing something which they don't have the maturity level. They haven't learned yet of that freedom. They haven't learned and really know in their heart that there are no other gods. There is only one God. That's why the apostles told the new believers, don't eat food from idols. It trips people up. You can fall into worship without even realizing it. You can lead others into the pit even though you yourself are safe. And Paul explains that to the people here. He's explaining to the people in Corinth, it's not about you. It's about the other guy that you're going to mess up because they're going to follow in your path, but they don't know how. Now, anybody here ski? Ever? Okay, I've been skiing, and at one point I was pretty good, but I was never, you know, like, awesome in any way, shape, or form. I could get down the hill without killing myself, and I could do some slaloming, and I could go around the gates if I didn't get too crazy. And I could do the expert hill if I went very, very carefully, and I went slow. Intentionally. But I couldn't do the Black Diamond stuff. You know, they had different graduations. You know, at Buck Hill they didn't have anything. It was Black Diamond. That's where I skied. If somebody from the Bunny Slope followed me and I said, oh, this is easy. Anybody can do it. And I went down the Black Diamond, and I was actually able. And I just went around and said, no, that's not a problem. And they followed me down, and they went to follow. They could crash. They could literally kill themselves. I mean, we've had several. Every year, there's people that die skiing because they attempt hills that are beyond them. That's exactly the same thing going on. You know, I know how to drive a car. Am I the same quality of a driver as a race car driver? If I was to just go jump in and try to drive the Indy 500, I'd probably kill other people plus myself. Either that or I'd just putt around at like 50 miles an hour, 60 miles an hour, and everybody go vroom, vroom, vroom by me. But I wouldn't be able to do it. Well, those of us who are more expert at following Christ need to understand that people are following us. I see this every day at camp. These kids, they're looking up at the counselors. They're looking up at the staff. And they say, I want to be like them. They watch to see what they do. And then they imitate them. Well, if they do it, I can do it. That's why we who are staff up there have to be careful about what it is we say and do. Because they are going to do exactly what it is we do. And if we're doing stuff that might be okay for us, but would be dangerous for them, well, there could be accidents. People could be hurt. Physically and spiritually. Well, here we're talking the same thing. This is exactly the lesson Paul's trying to bring home to us, to the people in Corinth, is that, yes, you do have freedom. And as long as your freedom isn't tripping up somebody else, live in your freedom. But remember, it's not all about you. You got others watching you to see how to follow Christ, because they're trying to follow Christ. And now if they don't know, if they're not ready for something dangerous, then don't take them there. This last couple weeks, I've had to deal with some literally demonic stuff at camp where I'm praying for people and they're shaking, they got stuff going on. And this is not something I deal with every day. But we didn't deal with this stuff like, okay, now everybody gather around, let's bring all the campers on, we're going to show you. We didn't do that. We took privately, quietly, off and away. And we made sure that other people were praying for us, and we did all that stuff, and we didn't bring those who were too young to know what was going on into the situation. But we still dealt with it. But we had to consider those who were younger in the Lord, those who didn't have that maturity level. Now, maturity level in the Lord doesn't necessarily come with maturity of a physical nature. You might be 60, 70 years old and still be immature in your faith. I've led people to Christ on their deathbed of old age. What's important, though, is that we remember who it is that's watching us. We got other people. Now, you say, who's my brother? Who's my sister? Because that is the next question, isn't it? Okay. Well, let's look at John. Gospel of John. Let's see. Did I write that down? Yeah. John 14. Start with verse 23. And it says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him and will come to him, and we will make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. And I'm going to jump forward to chapter 15, verse 10. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And then backing up to John chapter 13, looking at verse 34, it says, new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, by your love one for another. So this is talking about though other Christians. If somebody else is a Christian, they count as your brothers, your sisters in Christ. But there's also the group of people who might become your brothers and sisters. If you are trying to preach the word to somebody who doesn't know Jesus, they're your, if you would, soon to be brother and sister. And if the way you act doesn't lead them to Christ, but pushes them away, you may have harmed a possible brother or sister. I might be taking this a little bit farther than what the Apostle Paul did. But I look at it as a real thing. Is if the Holy Spirit has put the call on somebody to come to Christ, it's my job to bring them the gospel message. I'm just participating in the birthing process of a new Christian, of a new brother and sister. See, it's God who chooses who will be saved and who won't be. That's not my job. My job is just to present the gospel in such a way that the birth happens in a healthy way and they can grow and mature and become a good follower of God. So when I look around and my life is... do I know whether that person is my brother or sister that's standing next to me? How many Christians walk around with a sign that says, I am a strong Christian and this is my maturity level? Most of us don't. So you don't know for sure if that person standing next to you is a Christian or isn't a Christian or is a soon-to-be Christian. You don't know. And you don't know what their maturity level is. 9 times out of 10, or I should say 99 out of 100. Maybe in some situations when when I'm in my house with my wife, I'm pretty sure what Christians are in the house. Who's a Christian? We're all Christians. What are our maturity level? Oh, I'm pretty sure both Don and I are, mid-range to moderate, hotly high in our maturity level. I wouldn't put me at the top just because I'm seeking to grow continually. But I know there's a whole lot of other people out there that are more mature than me. There have been people who've been studying the Lord's Word for longer than I've been alive, twice as long as I've been alive. And, it's just possible they might know more about God than I do. So, I'm not going to puff myself up, but as I look at it, I say, okay, Don and I, we know where each other at, in our home. We don't need to worry about where the meat comes from. But as soon as we start bringing guests into our home, when we go shopping, we just can't amble off to the local idolatry shop, butcher shop, and buy our meat that's been sacrificed to idols. say, well, Pastor, we don't do that anymore. Well, look at our lives, what we do. Am I out buying lottery tickets? Am I out hanging out at the bar, tipping them back just as fast as I can? These are the questions that we ask ourselves here. Is my life, the way I'm living it, is it tripping up somebody else? I need to be conscious of the fact that people are watching me. Some are more mature than me, and whatever I do isn't going to trip them up. I don't need to worry about them. There are people who are at the same level as me. Those people, again, I don't need to worry about them. But the people who are proto-Christians, that is, they may become a Christian yet, and those people who are just baby Christians or immature Christians, what I do impacts them. And here, God's Word is telling me, it's better I'd put a millstone around my neck and been drowned at birth than to be leading people into sin. So it's not a question of, is it permissible? It's a question of, is my doing this going to mess somebody else up? You mean my first thought shouldn't be about me? No, it's about love. Selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. All together now. Selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. It's selfless. That means I'm thinking of you before I'm thinking of me. It's loyal, even though you may not have been nice to me last week, I'm still going to think of you first. And it's benevolent. That means I do what's best for you, not necessarily what you want, or even what I want. That's love. That's what Christ did for us. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you have given us some food for thought today. That you've shown us that it's not about us, but it's about how we impact others for you. Lord, might we not be so self-centered and inward focused that we forget that the world looks to us, both those who don't know you and those who do know you, as examples of what it is to be a Christian. Lord, help us to walk strongly for you, that our lives will not be weak, will not be a life that would trip up our weaker brother. But instead, Lord, might we walk strongly in our faith, might we walk strongly with you, praising your name, being a light for those around us. Lord, not bound up with legalism, but concerned with love, consumed with love for our brothers. Lord, your command is for us to love one another. Help us to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.